I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Live from the deepest, darkest dungeons of the internet, where the upvotes are higher and the stakes are even higher, it's the podcast that body slams boredom and suplexes sanity. Welcome to Qualified Nonsense, the internet's most thrilling expedition into the chaotic corners of Reddit. And now, your hosts. He's got the mind of a philosopher and the mouth of a meme lord, wielding sarcasm like a steel chair. It's Jake, the Jester of Judgment. With facts as sharp as a folding chair and a mic hotter than a summer subreddit, give it up for Brandon, the Baron of Bullshit. And me, I'm the one who reads it all and regrets nothing and presses record anyway. I'm Matt, the Matt Lad of Mayhem. So buckle up, boot up, and scroll down, because we're diving headfirst into the absurd, the hilarious, and the absolutely unqualified. This is Qualified Nonsense. Welcome, guys.
Oh, that wow. The timing also, like, you fucking crushed it. That was great. Wow.
I did do a manual just fade out.
That was a good manual fade out. I thought about that. I was like, is this going to drop off? But I saw you finessing that mouse cursor.
Yeah, that
was I'm energized. I've got a quarter wood. I'm ready to go.
I'm harder than a diamond in an ice storm.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been to like a pro wrestling event?
No, I kind of want to though.
No,
I used to work with a guy who did not WWE, but he did professional wrestling, and he was a part of a trio called the Beach Bums, I think, and they were like, I don't know, beachy themed or something. But it sounds like a pretty wild world.
There was I just got back from Las Vegas, and there was one night where we were in a bar and we were watching the TVs that were up on the screens. And the AEW was going. It's owned by this like Indian billionaire guy, okay. But it's based out of Florida. And the characters they had there were like so outlandish. Like, you know, here comes the Sultan of Sweet, you know, and it's like some guy that comes out like back to the old days of character development. It was kind of fun.
Nice. That's There's right. You were just in the Vegas, and also for your birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, what's it like being 40?
40.
Walking on the strip was harder. My back was giving me back problems.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Bedded over for those slots.
Hell yeah. That was good.
Did you guys went to the Sphere, right?
We did. We went to the Sphere and watched the movie Postcards from Earth. It was a movie that was filmed kind of for it. But it's a 50-minute movie that was filmed from the perspective of there's these two individuals that have left Earth and they landed on their new home and they're just waking up from their long travel and they have this voice in their head, their ear that's saying, you've traveled a long way. This planet isn't like Earth where you came from. Let's talk about where you came from. And then it like immerses you in. It's kind of like it's really preachy. Like if you don't take care of your Earth, you're all going to have to leave or it's going to blow up. But it was it's almost like a National Geographic movie kind of just of Earth and how it was and is.
Which is kind of funny to be presenting that message in a place like Las Vegas.
That's exactly what we said, like, when we left.
And
there is a section of it. It's like we grew so big that all we cared about was ourself and our things. And I was like, boring.
Yeah, it's like I'm here to just use up resources.
spend all my as like, so Lake Mead is having some real problems right now with its levels, and it's incredible to walk around there. Like, you used to be able to go into any hotel and just like grab a bottle of water off of any counter and stuff. Like, now you have to ask for it at restaurants. Like, some restaurants are charging you for it. It's crazy.
Like, so, charging you for tap water?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That's wild.
Some will. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good to watch the movie and then walk.
Like, let's go back to our resort.
Yeah. Oh,
we ain't got no water.
It is kind of crazy.
Turn the AC to 65.
It is crazy that there's still so much investment going on in Las Vegas that it's, you know,
is there a lot of construction like still? Like, is it still really?
It's still bit like it's it is noticeable. I was reading reports about their attendance last year, 2020, since COVID actually ended, and or I guess since COVID started and ended, their attendance on the Strip has been down. Hmm. It's because everything's gotten more expensive and they blew up a couple of hotels. But I think they're in a really weird spot right now. Like, it was weird to be in Vegas and not be like shoulder to shoulder with people like mumbling around on the streets. Yeah. There was plenty of room to walk. Everything was fine and comfortable. Which was
also,
nice.
I mean, not to get too political, but doesn't Las Vegas rely on like tourism from outside the US a lot of it? And I don't know if people are from outside the US are willing
dissuaded
to travel
from, yeah,
here.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we still saw our fair share of foreigners and even met them, like, but yeah, I guess that could probably be a pretty big thing as well.
Yeah, what was the most exciting thing you did? Did you do any like eventy things other than like going to see the movie on the dome?
We went to the Sphere and then we went to the Golden Steer, which is a really old steak restaurant.
Oh yeah, that's right. How was that?
It was phenomenal. We actually got to sit in, and it wasn't kitschy. I thought they were going to be kitschy with it for a minute, but it truly was Frank Sinatra's booth that he would sit in when they came in. And wow. The Golden Steer does things very, very old school. Like, they'll make the Caesar salad by your table. But one of the cool stories that they were telling us when they were doing some presentation booth stuff is that the reason the Rat Pack was came in there is because they were an unsegregated restaurant, and they're one of the only unsegregated restaurants in Las Vegas.
Oh,
so the Rat Pack, like Sammy Davis Jr. Would come in and feel comfortable there and welcome. So it was kind of cool to hear those stories and see all that old service. That was one of my bucket list things. And apparently they told us that so we made the reservation at Christmas time. My birthday is May 31st. And they were telling us that the dining room is booking out 6 months in advance right now.
Wow. What did you end up getting?
I got a petite filet and an Australian lobster tail.
Ooh.
And it was fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Only two things come out of Las Vegas: spheres and steers.
And I'm all out of spheres. No.
What about you guys? What have you been up to?
Not quite as fun as that, but we've been dealing with lice. So that's, you know, something.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about it.
You haven't.
Yeah, exactly. I've been
just weird. My ass crack has been so itchy.
Yeah, right. No, so I remember lice being a big thing in grade school, but I never got it. And I had longer, like normal kid hair, I guess. But we never got it. Did you guys ever get it in grade school?
I think I got it once.
I remember getting the lice checks. I remember it being kind of relaxing. Checks, yeah. Like sitting there and having like somebody like pick through your hair. You're like,
you know, actually that part of it is really interesting. I've thought about that a lot because I think
that's a very like Cartman mentality of like, I need to go to the school nurse. I think I might have lice.
but like you see primates groom each other, you know, and I just feel like
And they eat
what
it.
What a missed opportunity. Like, if we just groomed each other a little bit more, A, we could have more protein. B, you know, we would have less lice. I don't know. But yeah, no, things are good.
We'd all feel bigger senses of intimacy.
What's that?
We'd all have bigger senses of intimacy.
That's true.
We would have. Come here, Jake.
Much more. Yeah. Ooh.
Got it. Ooh.
So how do you control lice outbreak with children?
Flamethrower.
You throw a match at them.
No, now they do. They do like a oil based shampoo. It's rough. It's just like you soak their head in very oily liquid solution, and that kills the live, any live lice that you might have. But then you've got these little bastard eggs that they lay on your hair, and so you have to go through with a really, really, really fine comb and like pick them out, basically.
You were
terrible.
Always the family that had a jar of bacon grease on the counter. Just go suffocate them out. Like,
that's not a bad idea.
Slather them back.
Or you go, hey kids, who wants to look like daddy?
I suggested that, and Anna, I can't tell you how fast Anna said no. And I was like, all right. So that seemed a little quick to the draw.
Back, for them at least.
I know. Must be nice. Yeah.
Who wants a new summer dues?
Didn't they always used to like suggest shaving heads? I believe that I remember that being a thing in kindergarten. Like, I felt afraid that it was going to happen. I don't know why, but
I don't want to shave my head. No, I would if I had support internally in my family, I would just do that because it takes care of a lot. Like, it takes care of the whole nonsense of, because it's like a multi-week process. But
as the man of the house, you have all the support you need.
Yeah. That is how my house operates. So I should have thought about that.
This is going to be a quick episode. Jake needs to go shave his kid's head.
Yeah, no shit.
Wake those kids up.
Brandon, what about you? What is your last week look like? Anything fun?
Yeah, took a road trip to Northern California. Went to a concert at a casino near Sacramento and saw Wilson Phillips, and that was fun. Also went to. We went to this little town called Nevada City that was really cool, a cool old mining town. It was a very, very charming little town.
Is that the one that has the weird casino in it?
There wasn't a casino as far as I know.
There is one town. Was this in Southern Oregon?
No, this was in Northern California.
Oh.
Are you thinking you're thinking of McDermott, Oregon, yeah, which is on the Oregon Nevada border.
Okay. Anyway, sorry.
But no, Nevada City, it's like a kind of mountainy, just old timey town, but now it's like kind of artsy and all that. It's, yeah. So, we went there. We stayed a night in Ashland. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Sounds
Did you drink some Lithia water?
Did not.
I can't think that you're missing much.
Duh.
Yeah. I don't even know if they have it anymore, or because
it's just spring water. They did it. Yeah, the wasn't spring it dry up? Occurring?
They did have. I guess they did have the fountains there, but they look different than before. Mm. I don't know.
I mean, they were like heavily mineralized.
Yeah.
Of water, so
they're probably always changing colors.
Yeah, if it burns through fountains like paper. What do you think, guys? Should we get into some little questiony dashnies?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Yeah.
This message is brought to you by DSPS. TikTok and YouTube Reels are great fun for memes, recipes, and shaking your booty. But did you know that there are natural ways to trigger your brain to release dopamine? Exercise, sunlight, and sleep are just a few ways for you to get that little boost of those good feels and energy. At Doomscroll Prevention Service, we want you to be your best self. So just take that D out and scroll a normal amount. DSPS is not responsible for poor messaging and is in need of marketing overhaul.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. Now's the time on the show where we take on Reddit's most pressing questions by finding the top trending questions and answering them here. Our first question. This is from the Ask Men Over 30 subreddit.
That's us.
Username ArtGuy05.
And, I hope that doesn't mean he was born in 05.
No, yeah. Based on his question, I don't think he was. Also,
graduated maybe 05? Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Also, this question may have not been randomized, and I bumped it to the top of the queue.
You son of
a bitch. So, ArtGuy05 asks, about to turn 39 and wanting to change my life for the better going into 40. I have been a work in progress as of this year, but it's June, my birthday month. It's June, my birthday month, and I want to push to the next level. I'm not happy with where I'm at and want to make some huge changes. What's your best advice for improving your life, health, mindset?
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
I'm going to start with health because I kind of did that a little bit. Going into 40, I would say the last 6 months, I was like made a conscious effort to be, you know, I always hate the phrases, like a lot of motivational phrases I just kind of don't like, but there is the one of just be 1% better, right? You don't have to go change everything entirely. Just do 1% more or be 1% better. So I don't know if like you want to get a gym membership, but you know, you can't commit to 5 days a week, commit to going 2 days a week to start, and you can't do exercise ABC, but you can do DEF, do that and then work into the other side. So just be 1% better. Make sure you go.
Yeah. Just to piggyback on that, I think that it's so tempting to sort of cold turkey something or to try to make a big montage-y sort of change.
Transition in under 3 months.
Yeah, and it's just not like we're not in an 80s popular
not
film.
Sustainable.
It's not, yeah, yeah. So that's what I would say, is to think about sustainability and like actually getting a schedule down of whatever that change is, whatever that consists of, and finding a way to do the 1%, but then keep it consistent and then build off of that. Like with my kids, I always say
consistently, like realistically, you probably can't do like CrossFit 5 days a week for a decade.
Yeah.
But it's
going to be so tempting to try and do things overnight. And that's not how things work, especially when you're turning 40. Like we're not in our 20s, and also like, you know, it takes more effort and more time to move incrementally. So just know that going into it, and bite
basically
off,
our
bite
advice
off more
is to lower your expectations.
I call it have grace on yourself. You got a whole year.
Yeah,
start doing other things. I struggled for a long time with it. And I think that like the length of the struggle was actually really helpful, because I have a hard time with jumping all in on something and like abandoning all else. Like I'll just fixate on one thing. And if it's like, I don't know, if you're trying to fix your entire life, set some goals for yourself, but tell them to yourself for the entire year. For me, that's helped. Like, hey, oh, wait, I'm still working on that. That's fine.
And something I'll say is, go to the doctor, like have a relationship with your doctor.
And you're going to need
it. I mean, as long as, you know, whatever, like if you have insurance and all this, I know, you know, it's easier said than done because healthcare is expensive in the US. I don't know where they're writing from, but,
yeah.
But if you're able to, I avoided going to the doctor for a long time and,
I still do.
Like I have more consistently now, like I go like twice a year and I don't know, like it's good kind of not being in the dark with my health. I think that is good both for my mental health, but also it kind of serves as like a check on, you know, my lifestyle and how things are going.
Progress,
and, you know, you can kind of correct before it's too late rather than going to the ER one day, you can, you know, go to the doctor twice a year and do kind of the preventative stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's
Get familiar with your body.
You know, I would also say that I would before going whole hog into change, I would take a moment and an attempt at a deep dive into specifically what it is you're dissatisfied with. As I've mentioned many times, my partner is a therapist and she has these conversations a lot of like, what is enough and what is your self-image? And oftentimes people's self-images are so much more harsh than they have any reason to be or any business being. And that's not to invalidate what you want to do with your aspirations, but taking that moment and taking a self-reflection on what it is that you want to change. And then, you know, where you are, just like figuring out where you are and why that's not enough.
But that's a free nugget. If you want more therapy, go to our Patreon, subscribe for $5 a month, and then we'd still have to bill your insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and it is true though. I think there's a lot of like, oh, I feel this way, so I think I need to change this, when really you should change that. Kind of
change the feeling, or rather change the expectation, like
yeah, spending time identifying the root, right? The actual problem, not the
right,
not the band-aid that, you know, it's like, oh, I want to stop drinking less. It's like, okay, well, maybe you have other issues going on, you know, right? Maybe let's work on your depression than that. So it's like thinking you're going to fix one thing, but really there's something else to be fixed. I think that's good advice. Take some time to actually spend some time with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and if you do have certain goals or things you want to do, like, you know, write them, basically write a game plan for how you're going to achieve that. If it's, you know, you want to lose 30 pounds, say, here's how I'm going to do that, or here's what I'm going to do, the steps that you're going to take to achieve that, or you want to get a better job, then, you know, maybe you want to work in a certain field, so you have to upskill yourself, and this is how you do, you know, just kind of create a game plan for yourself to follow, rather than, and the steps required to achieve that, rather than just some amorphous goal sitting out there that, you know, you have your goal, but you don't really have a way to achieve that.
The something sort of adjacent to all of the things that we're saying is that it's just very easy to dream, and it's very easy to be mean to yourself. Frankly, it's just really easy to be mean, and to sort of be like, oh, I wish I could do this, and then not do what Brandon said, which is like not plan. And then it's really easy to be in a cycle of like underachieving to what you sort of dream of without a schedule or without a plan. And then it's just, and then it, that sort of feeds into itself of being like, oh, I still haven't done it. Now I'm 41. And like that can just sort of like be a self-perpetuating.
That was one thing I was going to put time. Out there is if you have like a bucket list or, hey, you know, I've always wanted to travel here or I've always wanted to skydive or I've always wanted to. I don't know about you guys, but I feel more of a sense of urgency with those things. Like if it has any interest to me now to be like, oh, yeah, I should focus on myself and do that. Like the self-care aspect of it.
Yeah, if it's a priority, like prioritize it, like make it happen by doing things like scheduling and self-reflecting to make sure that is the thing that you want to be spending your time and energy doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't listen to this podcast. Go do your things. Yeah.
We nailed that one.
We give you the key to life. Please go out
here's
and do
the,
them.
The top answer here. This person who. They say that they're age 60 to 64. They say, I could write 100 things here. It felt like everything changed physically the few days after my 40. A few ideas. Be sure you're sleeping well. Be sure you don't have sleep apnea. It's deadly. Take some fiber every day. It will save your colon. You're too old to get drunk ever. You're halfway through your life. What's good and what's wrong? Be sure you're focused on your family. Your children need you. Get a medical checkup every year. You need blood tests. They can catch diseases early if you do this. Your parents are getting old. Give back if they've been good to you. So.
Yeah. The parent thing certainly is something that.
I mean, you're too old to get drunk ever. I don't know if I.
Yeah. Agree with I'm going to say but... take that with a grain of salt. But I mean, it's not, they're all, I would say pretty like relatively safe pieces of advice that you hear frequently, but now it's happening to you.
This person says, join a gym and stick with it. I made the same choice for myself in January, not as a New Year's resolution, but since I was turning 40 in February, I wanted to improve myself. You aren't going to get instant results, but it's slow changes over time that make a difference. Showing up and getting your mindset right is something you can do right now, though. Also, buy a motorcycle. It's worth it.
Oh, shit. That's good.
Hell yeah.
In our 20s, I had a motorcycle, and I really wanted these guys to get a motorcycle also. And Matt was...
I did. I just bought yours when he sold it.
You bought mine?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
The silver wing?
I never got any money from that.
Wait, that's awesome. How long did you have it?
Not long, because it got a flat tire and me and Brandon pushed it up to the Honda dealership. Yeah. Like from the place we were staying at. And then they were like, oh, you also have a little bit of an oil leak. And I was like, meh, meh. Not worth it. These are money pits.
I remember like really, really trying to get Brandon to get one. And Brandon's like, I don't want to. B, I'm not well coordinated and I'm just going to wreck the fucking thing. And then it's going to be expensive and dangerous and bad. I don't want to do this. I'm like, but Brandon, come on.
Don't you remember when I pulled up to your house with my boots on and I laid the bike down and you had to come help me lift it up? Because gas was coming out of the gas tank. I do
I was
trying to be cool and like I put my harness boot down and you had those little like seedlings fall out of your tree and I like it just like whoosh. And I wasn't strong enough at the time to lift the bike back up.
I do remember we made a video of you riding in like a cowboy hat or something just down Trumbull. and it was like we had like Snoop Dogg playing or something like that. It was like, it was really, really good.
Billy Badass of St. John's.
Billy Badass. Yeah, exactly.
But he's not wrong.
Buy a motorcycle, it's worth it. If you have children, would you get a motorcycle?
No.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
No, I wouldn't. I mean,
I'm 40 now. We'll find out. Yeah, join us next week to see if I bought a motorcycle.
Yeah, no,
I saw something because from
that article.
Go ahead. maybe it was like one of these questions that I was looking up, but I saw something. It was like what's something you learned from your job or something, and I was reading the comments, and somebody said that they were an EMT, and they said they'll never ride a motorcycle based on all the trauma and injuries and death and stuff they've seen from motorcycle accidents.
Yeah, it's like my wife is a physician, and I met her when she was in residency, and there was an ER rotation, and I had just gotten rid of the motorcycle not too many years ago. And it was when we got engaged, it was one of those like, well, guess what you're never getting again. I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. God.
A little damn. Oh, man.
I really want it.
I remember Mr. King back in high school. He was talking about how if you get in an accident with a motorcycle and you've got a helmet on, it's the difference between like when you hit the pavement at like 70 miles an hour or whatever, it's the difference between having half of your head shaved off and your whole head shaved off. So it doesn't really matter if you're wearing a helmet or not. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Just
like ground down, you know?
Well, that's what we would do to get your body back into shape and health and well-being for 39 into 40. Next
good luck
question.
And you know what, see a therapist, talk to somebody, just because it's important to get
everything we're doing is just max out your deductibles.
Max out your deductibles. Can't take that shit with you feel me?
Get injured in the beginning of the year. If you do risky business, do risky business in January.
And that's if you have an HSA that's going to be buying a motorcycle.
Could be.
What kind of motorcycle would you buy?
Probably something similar to the Silverwing.
Yeah.
Or the trike bike. You can get that.
Could. Those are like just as expensive, if not more, than vehicles. They're incredible. They're like $50,000.
What?
Like, look up a Harley trike bike.
Harley?
They're the ones that started it.
Oh, I hate that.
They look so lame.
Well, it also defeats the purpose of a motorcycle, doesn't it? Or no, I'm sorry. It doesn't defeat the purpose.
It defeats the purpose of balancing.
It looks like your motorcycle has training wheels.
So if you like really wanted Brandon derby to get a motorcycle with you, he probably would have gotten one of
those.
That's
true. He would have gotten one of those.
Maybe.
Maybe. There is also a certain type of person that can pull it off. What?
Yeah. I said more junk in the trunk.
So there is a certain type of person that can pull off the trike bike look. I have seen like skinny guys riding them, and it looks really strange. They are a bigger dude's bike.
I feel like it's like older guys that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, people don't want to balance their bike. They're like, I don't want to fucking balance.
Yeah, but then they turn one
I'm
corner.
Tired. Like, well, that's what I don't understand. How do they corner?
Not well.
They just don't. They're just
no.
Like,
they do. You just can't do like
no corners on the jerky open road.
All right, let's go to the next question.
Yeah, next question.
All right, next question comes to us from it's from the Ask subreddit.
Real quick, I just thought of the song Life is a Highway when you said that there's no quarters on the open road. I'm like, yeah. Sorry.
Username
it would be
size 5010. They ask, genuine question, how do you politely tell someone they smell? There's this family that goes to my church and they smell so bad to the point where I am almost gagging and they don't even sit near me. I get that they might be nose blind to it, but it's just really bad. If I were to tell them, how do I do it politely?
Just be in the pew next to them and be like, oh God, it smells like the devil's butthole in here.
Hospital. I know why they call it a these pew. Balls.
I'd
stop going to church.
That solves that problem.
Next I would question. write it on the $5 bill that you tip with, like, the Andersons smell so bad.
No, what's the Christian way to do that?
Well,
because you want to be truthful and you want to be
if it's a whole family, it could be that, like, there's something going on, you know, that's
more of a CPS issue.
Yeah.
But to tell them in a Christian way, you say, my brother in Christ, you smell like the devil's butthole. they all have to say my brother in Christ.
you have all the lingo. Yeah, that's good.
Like, I mean, you know,
they have to listen when you say that.
Maybe they got their water shut off or something. They're going through tough times and they can't take showers. I don't know.
Then ask the church for a donation. Maybe they're all in ketosis.
Yeah.
They're all a bunch of keto heads and they just smell like farts.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, is there like a polite way to be like, excuse me, you stink?
No, there's, you can say, please don't. I mean, all right, one of two ways, especially at church. If the church is crowded, you can say, you know, excuse me, we're just really sensitive to smells and you guys have been sitting here the exact same spot and it's really crowded. Like, would you mind going up a pew or two? But we're just super sensitive to smell. Cause they might take that as like, oh, the cologne we're wearing or something. But if the church isn't empty, then just get up and go somewhere else. And then then talk to everybody about it at the potluck afterwards.
Yeah, no, you can't leave that important step out. What about talking to the minister or the pastor or whatever?
The pastor. That's yeah. Probably a good place to start.
Have him work it into a sermon about like bathing yourself.
Clean yourself.
It is holy to clean yourself.
It is holy to. You remember when Jesus washed what's his name's feet?
You got to wash that whole body. Under here.
Don't stop at the feet.
Under here. Under here. You can't do that. Don't come around here no more.
Well, one of the top you answers here is they do say speak with the pastor.
That's just passing the buck. That's they like say asking mom to do, you know.
Well, they say dad said also no. You could say something like,
they're the shepherd, right?
Like, pastor, are the Smiths okay? Their personal hygiene seems to be neglected badly lately. Do they need a care package from our congregation for supplies?
Yo, that's like that person's Karen is playing chess there.
Yeah. I mean, the top answer here is kind of a depressing one, so I don't.
Oh, what is it? Now I want to know.
It says about 3 to 4 blocks. This is the most upvoted answer. It says about 3 to 4 blocks from where I grew up was a family of people that looked and smelled like they never bathed. The oldest girl was my age. We went to grade school together. Several years after I graduated high school, my mom told me their house burned down and the youngest girl was severely burned. This is when I found out that the father was a drunk and the mother was in a mental institution. They used what money they had for drugs and booze, but refused to pay utilities. So they had no electricity, heat, or running water. No one knew what was going on in that house until their daughter was nearly burned up when their wood stove blew up using green wood.
Jeez.
So
yeah. Actually, that's a great segue into you really ought to
do a welfare
find
check
a way to make sure they're okay. And make sure the kids are okay.
Yeah, there could be. Because
adults, you know, adults, they, there's all kinds, and lots make poor decisions and are suffering from things. But you gotta take care of them kids.
Someone says, Jesus Christ, what is that awful stench? That god awful stench?
Yeah.
See, that's my more direct approach.
Praise,
sir, your
praise
deodorant
the Lord
is letting you down.
Yeah, it seemed like that would be an opportunity for a field day in the comments.
Yeah, this person says this is just one of those things where no matter how polite you try to come across, some people will still be offended. I mean, yeah, I think there are tactful ways of going about it, but it, still, like, if somebody were like, hey, you smell bad, you need to take a shower, like, I don't know.
Or subtly make them feel bad and make your own family feel bad at the same time, like, belittle your kids, like, oh, God, did you put on deodorant today? Smells so bad around here.
Oh, did your armpit rip butt? Jesus.
I didn't raise kids to fart in church. God.
No, but being a smelly person myself, it does, like, when you get the frank conversation from a friend or a not friend, it does sting, but also it helps inform and change your ways. You know, so I would actually feel, especially churchgoers, just because, like, I feel like that's in the philosophy of most sects of Christianity, is that, like, honesty and looking out for one another is important. So, like who cares if they're upset with you?
Or, like, you could do the care package thing. It's not that offensive. And just leave a basket full of deodorant and soap and stuff on their doorstep, and then just write, like, from the church, and then they'll either be too embarrassed to go back to church or take the hint.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's not like chocolates or anything, like, oh, they just gave us a bunch of deodorant. What do we do with this?
Now, what about with peers? Because I think we've talked in previous episodes about how we've cared less about certain sort of interpersonal interactions when it has something to do with sensitive, like, a sensitive subject. Do you think that if it was like a workmate, would you? That you were like required to sit next to, would you have a similar or different tact in addressing it? I mean, I guess we all work from home, so, like, you know, but imagine in the theater of imagination.
I mean, I think taking the coward's way out and putting it on someone else's shoulders is the way to go, like, whether that's the pastor or, like, HR or something.
Yeah, or, like, there's several different ways to do it. Like, when we were at the bank, the back office operations drew a certain culture, and there was a lot of them on our floor, and, like, they would eat a lot of, like, leftover cultural food that they make, and it included fish and shrimp and stuff, and they would bring it into the break room and microwave it and then just kind of, like, leave it. And so it got to the point where people were coming in early to put notes up, so they weren't seen as to what they were doing, but it was like, stop microwaving shellfish, or if you do, clean it after every time. That hint was never taken, so then it was escalated to HR sending out an email like, hey guys, let's be respectful, no shellfish, kind of a thing. So you can always pass the buck or just be passive with it.
Yeah.
Because then HR just sends stuff. It's like, hey, as a reminder, make sure our personal hygiene's up and we're ironing our clothes. Like, they filter those things in,
right?
Because they probably have to. But at the same time, if I was reading that, I'd be like, details, oh, yeah. I might smell bad, but that's not on my nose. But I also, I know I
this
wrinkle my clothes.
This doesn't apply to me.
Exactly. So they would see that email with, like, the compliment sandwich or, like, a reminder of all the rules. And, like,
right,
no, I don't
right.
Those things. That's not me, surely.
Hey, stinkers.
Yeah.
Well,
I would say it to their face.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would like to think that I would do, but I'd probably be a coward about it too.
Or if it's a family at church, encourage them to get baptized, and when they're getting baptized, just, like, start cobying bars of soap into the baptism, like, the bowl, the water.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, it is, like, especially if they are going through a rough time, that is, you know, it is this sensitive thing, but
everybody's got to be all sensitive these days. Well, I think Jake's light called it. Are we out?
My light we're expired.
It's either an episode or Jake's going to start telling ghost stories.
Oh wait, hold on.
Once upon a time,
it was a dark and stormy night.
There was a church.
There was a church. There
were smelly
there was a
people.
Smelly
in it.
Family.
He smelled like sin.
And this one commenter, they basically took my joke, or I took their joke. They say, "Pew, it's not just a place to sit at church." Well, thank you all for listening. Please support the show over at Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. Watch us over on YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Also, feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. And after you've done all that, please rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. We'll see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Bye, y'all.
Don't forget to wash your ass.